Now, in a surprise move, the Reserve Bank earlier this week cut the official cash rate by 50 basis points. That took it down to 1%. What does that mean? How will it affect your savings and your home loans and your credit card debt? And what happens if the official cash rate goes into negatives, or the interest rates that the banks pay and charge, which are influenced by the OCR, go into negative? Well, economist Oliver Hartvish is the executive director of the New Zealand Initiative and joins me now. Hi, Oliver.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Thank you for volunteering to come on board and explain this to us. Let's start with the basics. What is the official cash rate and why is it important?
Well, the official cash rate is important because basically all interest rates in the New Zealand economy somehow depend on it. It makes a massive difference to how much you earn on your savings when you put your money in a term deposit. And obviously it makes a big difference, of course, if you've got a mortgage. So when you take a mortgage out, that is linked to the official cash rate. So the Reserve Bank has control over a large chunk of our financial lives in that way.
Can you explain to listeners how your mortgage rate, for example, is tied to the official cash rate? How does that work?
Well, obviously, banks need to do business with the Reserve Bank, so they are able to borrow from the Reserve Bank, for example. And therefore, when the Reserve Bank signals that the official cash rate is changing, that has a direct impact on every other interest rate in the economy, whether you're saving, whether you're borrowing. So all of this kind of pivots around the official cash rate. And that's why all the banks and all financial institutions are watching this very carefully, because really, once you change the OCR, you drag the whole system either up or down.
Oliver, I'm loving what you're saying. I'm just having a little bit of difficulty hearing how you're saying it. Can I just double check that you are not on speakerphone?
I'm not on speakerphone.
And that you're talking directly into the mouthpiece of your phone.
Absolutely, yes.
Thanks very much. You're just sounding a little muffled, and economics is hard enough to keep up with.
That is true.
Why would the Reserve Bank cut the OCR by so much all at once?
Well, that is a very good question, because when you look at the statement the Reserve Bank put out, actually everything looks like we're in a pretty decent situation at the moment. We have record unemployment, currently 3.9% in New Zealand. We have inflation, which is currently around the mid-range of the target that the Reserve Bank is having, so close to 2% currently. We have economic growth forecast for the next few years of around 2.5% up to 3%. So actually, you wouldn't really think that New Zealand is in any sort of crisis situation right now where you really need to give the economy a boost through a cut in the OCR, and yet that's what we got. And actually, we got a cut that was much stronger than we had even anticipated, because most economists thought, well, yeah, we might get a 25 basis points cut, because that was really what the Reserve Bank signaled before, and instead we got 50. So everybody was really asking themselves afterwards, well, what did we miss? Did the Reserve Bank give us any kind of guidance that something like this was imminent, or is New Zealand really in trouble? Is there anything that the Reserve Bank knows that we don't know? There was a lot of concern in the markets afterwards that the state of the economy might be even worse than we had anticipated. So it really came as a big surprise, and I still quite can't understand why we had to go for the 50%, because everything else looks pretty much good okay at the moment.
As far as official cash rates go, is 1% low?
1% is extremely low for New Zealand. We have never been as low in New Zealand. It is not too low when you compare internationally, because the European Central Bank, for example, is sitting on a 0% OCR at the moment. So it can go much lower. And of course, we have seen negative interest rates in some other economies. So, yep, it can go a little bit lower still.
So, Oliver, if it keeps going low and we start looking at negative interest rates, can you explain what happens in a country when the interest rates that banks are paying are negative?
Yes, we can already see it in other parts of the world. So we can see it in Germany, for example, where the first bank in 2014 started charging customers for putting money in a bank account. It was a smallish bank in East Germany, and they started charging 0.25% to their customers when they put in more than €250,000. So it didn't affect all their customers, only the wealthiest of them, but they had to pay for the bank to basically take care of their money. And in the meantime, over the last 5 years, this has become much more commonplace in Germany. So you can now find dozens of banks all over Germany charging their customers. And actually, more than the 0.25%, sometimes up to 0.5% interest you have to pay the bank for keeping your money, and it's now starting much earlier too. So from about 100,000 euros, if you're trying to put that into a bank account in Germany, you will be penalized for that. And there are now fears in Europe that this will become much more commonplace because the European Central Bank has already announced that they are going to charge negative interest rates and much more in the future when it comes to dealings with the banks, and the banks are then passing it on to their clients and customers. So, negative interest rates have become quite a common feature of banking in Europe. They will probably become an even more common feature once the European Central Bank actually lowers the OCR there further. And we should be watching this with interest because I think that's on the cards for New Zealand as well.
So just to explain how that works, if you're charging a negative interest rate of 0.5%, if I put $100,000 in your bank, at the end of the year, you're going to charge me $500 for the privilege of looking after it.
Yes, exactly. I mean, this is not really what we're used to. Typically, we think if you save, the bank pays you. But actually, in Europe, it's now the other way around. In Europe, if you ask the bank to take care of your money, they will charge you for the pleasure of keeping it. So it is quite an absurd world. But of course, when you're in Europe, you really don't have much choice, because what can you do? You can take the money out of the bank and put it under your mattress, or put it in a safe or in a deposit box. Or you could try to invest it somewhere else. But again, you will be struggling to get a real return on your money because, for example, the German government, when you buy their bonds, well, for 30-year German government bonds, you're now paying the government just under 0% to keep your money. And actually, if you're going into German government bonds for 10 years, they are charging you 0.5% effectively too.
What effect does this have on people's behaviour, Oliver?
Well, obviously, when you can't get a return on your money anymore, you will try to find alternatives. So you're putting your money, for example, into the stock market or into property. And again, this is something that's already happening in Germany. You know, Germany never really had a property bubble in that sense. In Germany, property prices, unlike in New Zealand, have been stable for decades, but not so in the last few years. In the last few years, we have seen some German cities going up, you know, by 15% on their property prices, simply because there is so much money out there that is looking for some alternative investments because you can't get a decent return on your money in the bank anymore.
Yes, the thinking is that that's one of the reasons that the share markets are going so well, right? Is people just can't bear to put their money into more conservative investments that are either paying not very much or nothing, or are costing them.
Correct. That is the main driver for the stock market, because money is just looking for a home. People are trying to find some alternative yield, really, for their savings, because if you put yourself in a position of someone trying to save for retirement, well, if the bank actually charges you for your money, that's not a good strategy. So what you're trying to find is some alternative. You're putting it into investment funds. You're putting it into exchange-traded funds. You're trying to find any alternative, because everything is better, people think, than just keeping the money in a bank account and see it melt down slowly year after year.
So what happens when the share markets crash as well, Oliver?
Well, then people have absolutely nowhere to go. And that's, of course, a danger, because if people are putting more and more money into things like this stock market or into property, you're, of course, building up bubbles in these markets, because you're actually moving values away from their fundamentals. And in the long run, this can create a lot of problems in itself.
You point out there are not just economic effects, but social and political effects. You say the right-wing populists are waiting in the wings to exploit this issue. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's especially true, of course, in Europe. That is not so much a danger, I would say, for New Zealand. But if you're putting yourself in a position of, say, German savers trying to put money away for retirement, trying to build up a portfolio, and now seeing that there's simply no return to be made anymore, they are blaming the European Central Bank for that. They are saying, well, previously under the old regime of the Bundesbank and the German Mark, there used to be returns on savings. Now we don't get that anymore. So it must be, therefore, the failure of the European Central Bank. And we're probably paying to bail out some southern European countries like Italy or Spain or Portugal. And therefore, we're cross-subsidizing some other people in Europe, and we are actually paying the bill for that. And of course, that is unpopular politically, and therefore The temptation is for right-wing populists to just seize it, take this opportunity and say, well, see, we told you so, and now you have to vote for us, and we're going to restore it, and we're going to bring it back to where it was 20 or 30 years ago. That is the political danger, and you can see it in opinion polls. You can see how the right-wing populists are really exploiting negative interest rates. They're trying to make it their issue, and they're trying to channel the anger of the German saver towards their own political parties.
Oliver, Andrew would like to know, in a situation of negative interest rates, whether the bank would pay him in order for him to borrow money.
No, I don't think they're quite there yet, except, I mean, it is a possibility, of course, that when banks really don't know what to do anymore, they might do some crazy stuff there too. So far, I'm not aware of that.
I read somewhere that we get a prompt payment discount for paying the electricity bill, that in fact negative interest rates might mean the electricity company gives you a discount if you wait till the end of the month to pay it.
Well, yeah, that's the kind of crazy world we're entering, isn't it? I'm still waiting for a bank to offer me to pay for my mortgage, and that would be nice, but I haven't quite seen that offer yet.
All right. Is anyone really dealing with this issue? Does anyone know what to do? And are governments sort of openly talking about the problem?
Well, yeah, I mean, governments are talking about it, central banks are talking about it, politicians are talking about it, and yet there is no easy way out, because once you are in the situation and you keep it going for a few years, the problem becomes entrenched. You're making it so difficult to move out of this trap. I mean, you just look at what's happening in Europe. The financial crisis started around 2007-08. Then we had the European debt crisis around 2009-10, and you probably remember all the stuff that happened around Greece. And here we are in 2019, and Europe is still at zero and actually going further into negative. Once you have built up the expectations that interest rates will remain low or negative forever, it is really, really hard to pull out of it. And then you build up these expectations, and they get translated into 30-year bonds now trading at negative, which is absolutely crazy. Because what it suggests is, of course, that people now think there's not going to be much economic growth for 30 years to come. There is not going to be any return to be got anywhere in the market. Huh. And to get out of that expectation after such a long time, it becomes an almost intractable problem. And by the way, you're getting so used to it, especially if you are a government, because if you are the German Minister of Finance and you can now borrow, and you get paid for borrowing, because that's what's happening, it becomes addictive. So over time, you get really used to it, and it becomes even harder to move out of this policy trap.
Economist Oliver Hartwich, Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative. I really enjoyed talking to you. Let's get you back on again soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.